What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Hell yeah, we are.
So be sure to check back on that.
yeah, come hang out on Monday, y'all.
But we got an echo show lined up for you today. It's Friday, our favorite day of the week.
This is a fun one.
It's a fun one. We're going to kick things off with a preview of the upcoming Clippers Jazz game, which will be tonight if you're listening to this. Tomorrow.
Or yesterday, if you're listening on Saturday.
I hate this so much. we're going to get into what we need to do well to win that one, as well as what could go wrong. Look at a few key matchups that we want to watch for in that one and get into our predictions. And then it's Friday. Every single Friday, we some Pacific Division talk. I feel like...
this one's a smattering. We were supposed to have members of the Big Dog Lakers pod on. We're going to have that for the next Lakers matchup. One of them is sick. We wanted the whole crew together.
Yeah. We're
going to be talking, I don't know, there's some weird stuff. The Warriors are morphing into like a spiteful victory team, which I don't like. The Kings are shooting themselves in every foot possible.
It's a little bit more esoteric than our standard rankings.
Absolutely.
So, stand by for that.
It's the day after Christmas. We had to work. Let us live.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with a classic Love, Marry, Kill. Got a great one, which is White Elephant Gifts from the Clippers.
Shout out Chenny John, I believe, for the suggestion a couple days ago. I appreciate it.
So stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
So the Clippers and Jazz play on Saturday at beautiful Staples Center.
That's correct.
We get to go. It's going to be a fun time. If you're at the game, come say what's up. Shout out us or something like that. The Jazz come in pretty hot. They've won 5 of their last 6. So we're facing a team that definitely, I would say, the opposite momentum scenario of the last matchup we had.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
These guys, they've won 5 out of 6. Their last loss was against Miami, and it was a 3-point loss in Miami. Mm-hmm. So they're playing really well.
Yeah.
We've split the season series. We got crushed in the first meeting because Mike Conley, I think, had his best statistical game of the year, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be close. We didn't have Kawhi or PG. Then we won the second meeting that was like 3 days later, which was a weird scheduling thing.
Yeah, yeah.
With, quote unquote, just Kawhi. So they haven't really seen us at full strength yet, but we've gotten a good idea where they are.
Very true.
What do we need to do well in this game? The Jazz are such a flummoxing team to look at.
They are. I think, similar to what we saw last night, just being able to impose our pace on the game has been really big for us. We're kind of quietly ranked 5th pace. 5th for pace in the league?
I would say super quietly ranked 5th pace in the league. If you say name a fast playing team, I don't think a lot of people would say the Clippers.
And it's interesting because I do feel like we have a lot of tempo changes. And mind you, there are some varieties that can happen with pace just depending on the speed of other teams that you play.
For sure.
That will affect your overall pace. But I just feel like with the schedule that we've had, I feel like this is a pretty realistic reading of where we're at right now.
I think for the schedule it makes sense, but for all the personnel turnover to play at the 5th fastest pace is pretty incredible. Not good or bad, but just kind of like a goofy fact.
I would probably put this in my surprises on the season.
What else is in your surprises on the season?
I mean, there's a bunch of things, but this
we'll get into it.
This one is one. So we just got to continue to do that. And however that ends up happening, you know, whether that's the second unit looking to really push the pace or Kawhi playing just the methodical
Kawhi speed.
Kawhi, yeah. my Kawhi speed bicycle.
Yeah. Oh, damn, dude. There it is.
Ooh,
the Kawhi speed bicycle. That's good. What?
Yeah, the Jazz are 16th in pace. So I think that I'm hoping that we can flummox them a little bit, especially in the half court.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're shooting the ball really well. But wait, what else do we need? What else do we need to do well on this one?
Well, shooting the ball, it's funny you bring that up. We need to defend the dang perimeter.
Yes.
Which the zone doesn't really help us do.
No, that's going to be an interesting quandary in this one.
Yeah, the Jazz are number one in three-point percentage at 38.5 a game, which I would add that in my surprising stats of the season as well. But they're taking 32 attempts, which is good for 21st in the league.
Okay.
They kind of have a wide array of shooters.
Yes.
Bohan takes 7 threes a game. Donovan Mitchell takes 6. Conley takes a little over 5, but I'm not sure if he's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to. And then Joe Ingles takes 5. So I assume Ingles' numbers are going to go up in this one because he's a Clipper killer.
Yeah.
Because he feels wronged by us.
And he's, it seems like he's on an upswing lately. He was having a rougher start to the career.
Garbage.
To the career. To the season.
I mean, technically the career got cut by the Clippers.
But
so I don't think we'll see the zone very much.
Yeah, that kind of leads pretty perfectly into what I think could go wrong. And I think the team defense could take a step back in this one.
Interesting.
We saw Paul George and Kawhi both speak on it, how on any given night, the man-to-man defense will be really good, but it can kind of crater as a team. And we even saw that in the start of that Lakers matchup on Christmas Day. And I think if that does end up happening, we could see some leads evaporate. I'm going to assume that, we're generally going to outscore them. Like, just offensively, yes, like, sure. from a potency wise, I don't really see them. But I do think that we could see some leads evaporate or this game get very close by them looking to exploit some weaker links on the defense. And there's a couple of things.
Get into it.
The Jazz, they don't really run a whole lot of ISO type plays. That's like, it's like maybe 6%.
That is not Quinn Snyder's bag.
That is, like, it's not really Utah Jazz basketball, but it's only like 6% of their total possessions. However, they are third in the league in points per possession when they do go to that ISO. So
that's wild effective.
You have some very efficient scorers in Donovan Mitchell. Bojan can also be dangerous off the dribble.
They're a lot like our stats last year in terms of like the number one in percentage, 21st in attempts. And
yeah.
It's like, I'm sure a lot of Utah Jazz fans like, why aren't we shooting it more and why aren't we doing more ISO?
And I think if the communication isn't there or if there's a clear weak link, I would expect them to exploit that a lot more.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing about the Jazz is they run more pick and roll than any team in the league. According to stats on NBA.com that I was just looking at. However,
that is shocking.
Yes.
But also makes sense because Rudy Gobert is a complete monster and destroys it.
Yeah, they run. I mean, it's just under 30% of their total possessions.
Yeah.
If we're going to need to see the communication, I think that's been the biggest issue when we do see these kind of
a dominant pick and roll team.
Yeah, and when we do see the defense kind of collapsing on itself, that seems to be one of the key issues, is guys just not quite understanding where they're supposed to be or not communicating to the help defender.
Yeah, I'm scared about that one now. That's a good call.
What else do you think could go wrong in this one?
We might not be able to get to the line as effectively.
Okay.
In this one. Opposing teams average 21 free throw attempts against the Jazz. In our last two games against them, we've had 34. So, like, those numbers are crazy. It's a crazy outlier. We are murdering that stat from their perspective. Kawhi had 12 free throw attempts last time we played. We got the dub, which was nice. But this is one of those things where, like, if the refs aren't on our side, this is where I get a little worried sometimes.
For sure.
Because last year, anytime we played the Jazz, we'd go to the line, like, 16 times or something like that, and we would lose because that makes total sense. So I'm really hoping that we don't necessarily have to rely on the free throws very much.
Yeah.
Because apparently, based on that Lakers game, if it's happening early in the game, we're missing that or whatever's going on. That could be an issue. If things get tight and we try and rely on getting to the line and they are playing their usual Quinn Snyder very good defense against us, kind of keeping their hands down and stuff.
Totally.
It could get a little hairy. What else we got?
For what else could go wrong? Just their length. And they're limiting opponents to 21 assists a game, which is number one in the NBA, which is, I mean, I think we only had like 24 in that Lakers game. So that's not, it's not too crazy. But our turnovers per
game. It's a thing.
It's been something that we talk about in most game previews at this point. So this is one of those things that could get really messy if we're not taking care of the ball. And it goes along with that pace thing, you know? Like, we want to look to instill our pace. And I think that whenever we get frantic or we worry too much about either keeping up with the other team or really pouring it on the other team,
yeah,
that's when we start to make a lot of those terrible turnovers. And this is
like
a team,
the Rockets game.
Yeah, and this is a team that's kind of built to exploit those turnovers.
Definitely. We're sixth in defensive rating, which is fantastic. We love it.
I think we're four now.
Damn. They're still a top 10 team.
Yeah.
So that defense is there. Key matchups. I want to start with one that is weirdly very important.
Okay.
And I love it from a niche player perspective. Because I love when there's an NBA player who's like, he literally does one thing well and it's hyper specific. Royce O'Neal versus Kawhi Leonard. Royce locked Kawhi up last game. He was Kawhi. Royce O'Neal was on him for 7 minutes per stats.nba.com.
Okay.
One of the higher minutes totals I've seen for a player stuck to Kawhi all year. You know, you look at the Clippers and it's like 2.5 minutes because there's so much switching. He held Kawhi to 4 of 14 shooting in those 7 minutes. That's fantastic.
That's
elite defense.
Yeah.
And I just love it from like, what does Royce O'Neal do? Oh, he's a Kawhi stopper. So Kawhi did have 30 last game, but he went 9 of 26 and 2 of 8 from three. He made his money at the free throws, like I said earlier, but like, this is a big part of the game. I'm so happy we're assumingly going to have Paul George there because it can be the outlet if Royce O'Neal is apparently doing whatever Kawhi, you know, seance stuff he does before the game. You know what I mean? But like, this was such an interesting matchup to look at because he effectively locked Kawhi up.
Yes.
He might have fouled him a few times, but like, you would rather make him earn his money there. It's just an interesting thing to keep an eye on because it's going to be interesting how they deal with it with Paul George back.
Definitely.
I'm not really sure who they put on Paul George. And for defensively, Bohan versus Kawhi slash Paul George slash maybe Mo.
Yeah.
Because do you think Mo starts this game?
Probably.
I think so, too.
Probably.
Kawhi had Bohan for the most minutes, which was like 2.5, held him to 0 of 2 shooting. His best shooting percentage was when he was matched up against Shamit and Zoo. And like when he's matched up against Zoo, he's taking threes. You know what I mean? Like he's not driving on him.
Totally.
So I have to assume that those matchups are going to try and be sought out.
Definitely. Definitely.
This is just such a weird game to look at.
Yeah. Do you think... Oh, man. So who do you want to see guarding Donovan Mitchell?
Dude, I don't know. I know that sounds lame, but like he murks us. Against the Clippers, he's averaging in his career 30 points on 55 from the field and 50% from three. So I don't know what it is. If he is the prototype.
Sub 80 from the line, though.
Sub 80.
You're a loser.
You know, you can hang your hat on that. We need to stop him from going downhill.
Yeah.
He doesn't beat us from behind the line. Yeah, he's shooting 50%, but that's like 4 attempts a game. We need to stop him from going downhill. This is where I think that zone gets so weird. Because if they don't have, they need at least, I'm going to say, 2 shooters around Donovan for us to not play the zone. If they got 1 shooter out there who's like, you know, like a real shooter where it's like, we can't let him score. He's not on that list of names where it's like, if he shoots, whatever.
Yeah.
We need to only be in the zone, I think, if Donovan's on the floor and they don't have 2 shooters.
All right.
Because he murks us.
No, that's a good call. I'm curious to see what we end up doing to slow him down. You know, if Mo does get the start, they like to run Mo, especially on these type of guards.
Yes, Doc does.
So we'll see what happens with that. Do you think...
Conley?
Conley is listed as out, so I'm assuming he's not going to play.
Yeah. I hope he does. He's been playing real bad.
I would like to quick segue to just on a key matchup, Conley versus himself. Is this dude washed?
Dude, I don't even want to. Maybe.
I hope not.
He's been
having a really rough go of it.
Worst go of it.
5 of his last 7 games, he's had a field goal percentage under 25%. Not from three, from the field as a whole. So I don't know. I hope that's going on with Conley.
Hope it gets figured out.
Do you think
maybe the game after us? But I hope it gets figured out.
Could Jordan Clarkson be a factor in this game? The newly acquired Jordan Clarkson.
Maybe because he seems like that type of guy, who like he comes with a new team and it's like, whoa, how did we give up? I mean, they gave up 2 second-round picks and an Australian for him. So like. He might be that guy who it's like, yeah, he might have a change of scenery game.
Yeah. I mean, he is shooting 41% from three over his last 10 games, which would be really effective, which, you know, would be really great in preventing us from being able to run a zone. Let's get into some predictions for this one. We're running a little long on this segment.
Michelle, what do you got? Oh, one more thing. Rudy Gobert versus our bigs. We got to mitigate him. We shut him down kind of last game, which was great. He only had 12 points. However, 14 boards, That's going to be an issue, as well as defensive boards. Get into your predictions.
I think the glass is going to be the biggest issue, to piggyback on that.
They're a top five defensive rebounding team.
I'm not that worried about Gobert actually as a scorer. I just find it to be a little one-dimensional.
Yeah. If that pick and roll's working, I'm worried, but Zoo's been looking good lately.
Yeah. So as far as prediction goes, I hope that we hold these guys under 100 points.
You love it.
I'm going to go 110 to 94 Clips.
Oh, my God. That's a borderline shithousing.
Clips take this one. I think... but yeah, I would like to see a comprehensive win on this one.
I'm into it. I also think the Clippers are going to win. I'm in that mode right now where we played so poorly against the Lakers and we got the win that I feel like we're going to win every single game from here on out. No, I think we win this one too. I think it's a little closer. I think we're around like 104 and they're at like maybe 99. So I think it's a close game.
All right, cool. So coming up next, we're going to have some Pac Div talk for you, that's Pacific Division, if you're new to the podcast. But before that, the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams.
Wait, just one?
No, multiple.
What?
For a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce.
Sink and bounce, baby.
You gotta have both. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockednfl and using code LOCKEDNBA, that's LOCKEDNBA at checkout. A little confusing, no worries. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other fabulous offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Check it out.
Welcome to Pac Div Talk.
Hey, it's the Div.
This is where the episode...
Welcome to the Div.
It goes down on the Div, dude. This is where the episode gets a little esoteric. So do we want to talk about the size thing against the Lakers first? Do we want to address the out-of-bounds thing? Or should we talk about some classic Pac Div talk right up top?
Let's talk. Let's start with the Pac Div talk. Great. And then we're gonna
it's going to get messy.
Get into this out-of-bounds call, which has sort of defined the news cycle today in a weird way.
I hate Nick Wright. So the Warriors just took down the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
They firmly own that franchise. It's awesome. They are in their heads. Are the Warriors starting to hit when your team is bad?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole I've been a lot of bad sports teams, hockey teams, golf teams, about horrid. There comes a point when you understand that you're bad,
mm-hmm.
and then you just go, oh, we should only really try when we're playing good teams to just ruin their day.
I don't know if it's that far, but I do think that they...
I did play up until high school, so I was basically a professional athlete.
For me, the Warriors have been kind of a heel of the NBA for like the last few years. And
yeah, they're like an organic heel.
And that doesn't go away just because you suck.
Yeah.
I
like that.
I think that a heel is a heel, man. And whether you're winning or losing, you're supposed to be that heel.
This is what I love from it, because Kerr had a quote after their win. He said, "We've had a lousy season. We're going to run on the floor. If you got to call a tee, call a tee."
Love it.
So when the Warriors are beating, they're being dicks about it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is almost more offensive.
They've won, what, 8 games?
It's almost more offensive when they're not good.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's like, it's ultra heel.
It makes the Pac Div a little more interesting because the Warriors are kind of in this spite mode while the Kings and Suns are just loading up clips and shooting themselves in the foot. The Kings... So if you look at it, the Kings are 1.5 games out of a playoff spot, and yep. the Suns are 3 games out of 8th. But the Kings are on a 4-game losing streak, and the Suns have lost 7 in a row.
They have been without Booker.
They just added 8, and is 8 the problem in Phoenix? The answer is no. No, the Pac Div is getting crazy volatile. Being a Kings fan seems stressful as hell right now. They're so close to a playoff spot.
So I love... this part of the Pac Div.
The shitty part.
No, I
respect it.
I love it. I wouldn't even call it the shitty part. I mean, these are two teams that if you told me either one of these teams made the playoffs,
yeah.
If you were Chuck from June.
Yeah. Dude, Chuck from June is here.
I would not be super surprised. I would not be surprised if either one of these teams were able to secure a playoff spot.
Who do you give the edge to right now?
I give the edge to the Kings. Yeah. Right now, just yeah. because you know they're returning to a fully healthy roster.
It just feels,
just given what they were able to accomplish last year, I hope that they can get back to form. They're a little bit closer. The Suns, have had a little bit of an Icarus-like fall from grace.
Oh, wow. Dude, that's like, dude, that's the deepest. Dude, because they're the suns, and he flew to the sun.
So right now, I'm hoping that the Kings get it a little sorted out. There was a stat that I was just seeing that, like, Buddy Hield is like one of the high, like he has the highest percentage of missed shots, which I assume is going to turn around.
I hope.
So yeah, I guess I would give a little bit of an edge to the Kings, but I'm not out on the Suns. I think that they could still figure it out. They could right the ship and fight. I want one of these teams though to lock up the eighth spot. I don't want both these teams to miss the playoffs again like last year.
The dream scenario is that
three Pac Div teams got to make the playoffs.
The dream scenario is that we remain the 2 seed.
Yes.
Somehow, although I honestly don't think it's possible at this point that the
Suns take the 1 seed.
That the Lakers remain the 1 seed and then have to play the Suns.
Okay.
And then it somehow goes 7 games.
All right, I like this.
But so now we should talk about the Lakers a little bit.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Do we talk about this out of bounds thing?
We teased it up top, so I feel like we got it.
Okay, so if you're not on Twitter, which bless your soul, continue your life as you've lived it.
Continue to take care of your mental health.
And maybe not watch ESPN, maybe both those things. There was a play, tie game, Beverly knocks the ball out of LeBron's hands. It goes off LeBron, out of bounds.
After he managed to avoid fouling him on an initial swipe.
Yes. Literally, every human being who has watched the replay will say, of course, goes off LeBron. It's Clippers ball. Most people are saying that.
But then the smartest man in sports, Nick Wright, comes in with both guns blazing.
Nick, nicest toupee in the game, right? Nick Costanza's toupee, right, for the Seinfeld people out there, says that that violates the spirit of the game and that replay is ruining these things. First of all, dog.
I'm not the huge.
They reviewed it. What do you want them to do?
Also, what is this spirit of the game?
My good friend Alex Hanna, part of the Big Dog Lakers pod, has a belief that sportsmanship was invented by rich white men.
Yes.
To pretend to have integrity.
Yes.
I put spirit of the game in the same thing as that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Spirit of the game. What?
Spirit of the game is competition.
Just think if this was flipped.
Yeah.
If LeBron knocked the ball out.
Yeah. It'd be the best defense. They'd be like, oh, season 17 playing the best defense in the entire NBA.
And this is not a knock on LeBron in any way.
Not at all.
Yeah, it was a horrible possession. But the proportions of this is being blown out. A correct call.
I don't get how what everyone is agreeing is a correct call and was called correctly by the officials. The 2-minute report had nothing. You know, like there were no calls.
None.
So.
It's insane. I hope they get over it soon because they're in the middle of a 4-game losing streak. They got a lot bigger things to worry about than something that happened on Christmas.
I just don't get how this was like the major talking point takeaway from this game.
So. One quick one, really fast. Justin Russo had some really interesting stats about Anthony Davis in the fourth quarter against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. He's played 13 fourth quarter minutes in the two matchups we played, which honestly seems light.
Yeah.
He's minus 13 in those minutes.
Oof.
When he's at the five. The issue, again, per Justin Russo, he has to guard either PG or Kawhi on the pick and roll, which means that there's more space for the ball handler when Trez rolls. Why don't teams just go big against us when Trez... Like, what is the issue? I'm all for this stat, and I love it.
You still have to have the mobility in the pick and roll to be able to guard him.
Yeah,
because I just think that that's the biggest issue.
It didn't work against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Like, they really have such a drop-off in defensive personnel,
mm-hmm.
that because LeBron can't guard Kawhi,
no,
he can't.
Maybe for some possessions,
but But then when he gets to crunch time, he's tired the whole game. Like, it's just interesting. Like, is this Clipper like? We just got a full roster, so I'm excited to see what the true kind of small death lineup is.
Totally,
is it Bev, Lou, Kawhi, PG, Trez?
Bev, Lou, Kawhi, PG, yeah.
Like, the pick and rolls, the best pick and roll of all time is there. You have four 20-point scorers out there.
Yeah,
you got three elite defenders.
Yeah, and then you can sub Shamit in there at some point if you need a little bit more spacing, or if one of those two guards isn't feeling it from three or hasn't been hot.
And Zoo's gotten really good in the role just from what we've seen with Kawhi.
Oh, he's not closing games.
That if you, well, I'm saying if you need it to, yeah. If say Trez has played, I don't know, 27 straight minutes that game and he needs a break, you could throw Zoo in there for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else in the pack, Dave, before we get to the Slumber Kid?
No, let's take a quick break so you can hear about our fabulous offers. And then we're going to come at you hot with a Love, Marry, Kill.
Welcome to Love, Marry, Kill.
Hey.
It was just Christmas. And also, as we're recording, it's the first day of Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Hope everyone has a wonderful first night of
just
Kwanzaa.
Just happy holidays.
Happy right. holidays in general. Chenny John gave us this. He also gave us a 5-star review. Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. White elephant gifts from the Clippers. Great, great Love, Marry, Kill. I got a couple on here. Feel free to add some Updike specials.
All right.
Patrick Beverly's gift. Steel-toed boots that you have to use in the layup line. The soles have been converted to non-marking soles, so you can wear them at an indoor gym.
Mm-hmm.
He is very excited to see you use them for the first time, which means you will be putting them on at the function and running some layups. Second gift. Doc Rivers. Family sun-made homemade wine that really just isn't that good. Sometimes your first go is not right.
Making wine is very hard.
You receive a 2019 bottle of Austin and Doc's Vineyards Malbec. It is oily, bitter, and a pop top for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a twist off. It's not a cork. It's like a, you know, using my redneck ass Coors bottle opening it. He also, as you're opening it, grabs one glass from the kitchen, so you have to pour it and drink it in front of everybody.
Oof. All right.
It's a tough one. Kawhi Leonard's gift. Just a card that says Happy Holidays. You thought you were close enough to get him a real gift, which you did do. But we guess this is just how Kawhi and Kawhi is, and your friendship is fine, probably.
I'm going to add a Mo Harkless BFF necklace. So it's one of the classic.
Is it a heart?
A of all, it's a heart that's you get one half of it and he gets one half of it. The only issue is that his white gift personnel was actually Trez. So
there's a
Trez is a little conflicted about whether he should be wearing this because it is a great gift.
But it's like, dude, lose right there. Dude.
I'm supposed to very publicly declare that you're my BFF?
This is weird. I like that you put who it's to. So Patrick Beverly is giving the steel-toed boots to Shamit in mine. And Doc Rivers is giving the wine to, I think, Zubats.
Okay.
Because Zubats would drink the whole glass and say it was great. And then Kawhi is giving his letter to Sam Cassell. Which of these are you loving, marrying, and killing?
I'm loving... I'm loving Doc Rivers, father and son, homemade wine. What a great venture just to get into father and son.
They've had kind of a, you know, they've talked about kind of their relationship and how hard it's been. Making wine seems like the perfect way to fix, you know, some people fight their dads. Some people
also,
make wine.
I'm imagining Austin Rivers falling over like that news. Squishing the grapes.
And Doc just keeps going.
So I'm loving that idea. I'm loving right. that idea.
Which
I'm,
you.
I'm ready to marry Patrick Beverly's gift.
This is a useful gift.
The thing is,
Shamit needs the finishing help.
The thing is it could be useful. And maybe it's like he's also a coupon guy. Like Pat Bev is the kind of guy who will give you a coupon like for a service, and one of them is just, you know, a sunrise Tim workout with Patrick Beverly.
It's like written and like homemade. Like it's like,
yeah,
you got one. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
those are good gifts. Also, people who knock those gifts, if you do it right, great gift.
I think if it's sincere, I think that's an awesome gift.
Can't do it 2 years in a row, though.
I think that you can.
We'll see.
Maybe not the same one 2 years in a row.
Yeah, like I'm not giving Hannah like two of the same coupons a year in a row.
And if it's just massage, come on. Grow up. Get out. Unless you're a really good masseuse.
Just offer one. And which one you killing?
I gotta kill Mo Harkless BFF necklace just because I'm worried about the tension.
Worried about the tension. I'm going to kill that one too. I'm going backwards. I'm killing the Mo Harkless thing. I think he would mean, and I think as soon as Trez opened it and he saw it, Mo would be like, oh, I didn't even realize what I did. Like, this was just a fun gift. I'm so sorry.
Well, because everyone is Mo's best friend.
So how about this? He's like, I got this idea now. Trez comes back a week later. They have a necklace that is 15 pieces. One for everyone on the team.
I love that.
That's great. I'm going to marry the Kawhi Leonard card.
Okay.
Because you would keep that forever.
Yeah.
It would be a New Balance edition card for some reason.
I'm fine with that.
Very limited drop.
I'm fine with that.
Only four of them came out at select Hallmark stores. And he's like, yeah, happy holidays. And you're like, oh, thanks. And but he's looking at you the whole time you read it. And he's like.
Yeah, a single tear comes down when you read the happy holidays.
And then it sparks and then evaporates. And then I hate to do this. I love the wine. Even bad wine. I have never bought a bottle of wine, and I've bought bottles of wine that have cost 99 cents, and I've bought bottles of wine that have cost upwards of $12. I've never not finished that bottle of wine.
Oh, I disagree. I threw out a Pinot Noir the other night. That was...
Dog, I don't know what lifestyle you're living, but I need to get on the same throwing out Pinot Noirs on the weekday lifestyle that you're at. And honorable mention, the Patrick Beverly Steel, I mean, that's just a good gift.
Yeah, I already put it in mine.
I'd give my kid that gift. And they'd be adult sizes.
All right, so that's all we got for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Hope everyone has a great weekend. If you see us at the game, say what's up.
Yeah, drop a pin.
I mean, yeah, drop a pin if you're
in a friendly way.
We might go get a drink after the game at Hank's Bar downtown. They got free hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Coming up on Monday's episode, recap of the hopeful victory over the Jazz.
Hi-o.
The freshies, more what we want to see. Of maybe some new guy stuff. Hope we see some Derek Walton Jr. minutes. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you so much for listening.
If you want to get shouted out on the show like Chenny John did, please leave a review on iTunes. Shout rating. We'd love to hear it. Subscribe if you haven't already.
It's more like Chenny Don. Anyway, thank you so much. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Update. Appreciate you.